Each and every one of you, good to be in church this morning. Hopefully the Sunday school hour blessed you as much as it blessed me.
Yes, sir.
Let's see here. Brother Ralph, would you open us up with a word of prayer?
Father, again, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. We thank you for all the blessings you've given us. As we learned in Sunday school, we have been given so much. And your word tells us that when much is given, much is required.
Yes.
And so help us to use the things that you have given us for your honor and glory. And help us to be mindful that there are many around us, even in this country and many others around the world, that don't have the advantages that we do. Help us to do what will please you. We thank you for this service and for all who have made the effort to be here. Pray for those who could not be here today for whatever reason. Those who are struggling physically, pray that you would minister to their needs.
Amen.
Our desire would be to have them restored to full health and strength, but we leave that in your hands, knowing that whatever your will may be is for our good and for your honor and glory.
Yes.
So we pray that you would work in each heart. For those who may be away, traveling, or whatever it is they might be doing, I pray that you would strengthen them and encourage them and give them a blessing today as well. For those who live away from here and will be viewing this through the live stream or listening to it later via our website, pray that you would bless each one of them too and help them to receive something from you today. Thank you for our time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, this first song, I must confess, is for me. Just to hear you guys sing it. My wife and I have been dealing with a lot lately, and it's been heavy on me, and I feel some of those things were vying for my attention, getting my eyes on all these things that were going on and over this weekend. Meanwhile, I've spent some time in prayer, and I just realized I need to turn my eyes upon Jesus. If you would, stand with me. Turn to page 546. Sing with me, turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Look at the Savior and love.
next song's for me too. With all the stuff that's been going on, my mind has been battling with a lot of stuff, a lot of thoughts, what to do, what not to do, juggling the things that I have to deal with in life, making sure I spend the time I ought to with the Lord. And it's funny, because I've been really... It's weird how the Lord works. I've been clinging to a verse lately. While we were praying before service, the pastor actually quoted the verse. I've been struggling with so much, taking up space in my mind. And the verse, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established.
Hey. Good verse. On.
This song has to go along with the number one work I can think of. Spreading the gospel. Letting people know about what Christ did for us.
Amen.
We're going to sing Send the Light. Page 657. Send the Light.
Wednesday because of the parade that's going to take place here, but we will try to send a light Wednesday. So our public outreach for this week will be Wednesday night. We're going to try to hand out some tracts, so if you're interested in handing out tracts or just stand here trying to support and help put forth the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm going to try to set up a table out there, and just whoever comes by or however the Lord provides opportunity, that we'll just try to send a light a little bit. Give the gospel track out. We got some little bags up made for some kids. So just to be a testimony here in this community, there will be church Thursday night. Any are interested, Thursday night. So instead of Wednesday night this week, Thursday night at 7, will be our midweek service. Wednesday night, again, will be our public outreach. Thankful for those that do go out and help out. It was a blessing Thursday night. You know, sometimes you deal with the bad things that happen, or I wouldn't say the bad things. Somebody cussing at me is not a bad thing. Whatever. You want to curse at me, that's fine. But we had a young man. There was 10 of us out there, I think, 9 or 10 of us out there. We had a young man come up, and he talked with Chris Mitchell. And then he went and he bought all of us water.
Amen.
7 of us. And he didn't buy the cheap water. Like, he bought the good water and, like, the 3-gallon water.
Wow.
And he was just appreciative for people just standing for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's why we do it, brother. Like I said this morning, we'll walk around. We'll have no problems putting on something on our chest that proclaims a sports team, a company, or something like that. But to hold up a sign that just has a Bible verse on it, individual try to find, it's hard to do. It's hard to do. Brethren, listen, I appreciate every brother and sister that goes out there, and I want you as a church to realize this. I don't want anybody to ever feel like I'm forcing it. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I don't make my wife and daughter go. My wife and daughter can stay home if they want to stay home. And they'll tell you to your face that that's the truth on that. You know one person that's amazed me so far, and she's not here. Keep her in prayer because we had to get her tested for Lyme disease. That's Ellie. She's struggling right now. She's been battling all week with this thing. And so we had to take her last night to go get her tested for that. And so just pray just for her that it isn't Lyme disease. I pray it's not. But you know what? I'm proud of my daughter.
Yes, come on.
A 16-year-old girl, look, and brethren, I don't make her do it. Look, I'm just going to be honest with you tonight. There's sometimes I struggle going out there to hold up a sign because I know it's holding up Bible. Like I said, anytime you go to hand somebody a tract, hold up Bible, or wear a scripture shirt, all the devils of hell don't want you doing it because it's the only thing that's going to shine light into the heart of people. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and light on my path. And so I was sitting out there 2 weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I was sitting there. And I have my sign up, and God bless my daughter. She's sitting right there on that corner in front of everybody just having that sign up. And I did not make her do that. I did not preach to her to do that. I didn't tell her to go do that. She just does it because she loves the Lord Jesus Christ. And she just wants to be a testimony for him. And I sat back there and I said, God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. And again, brother, this is not to make anybody feel bad here. I'm just talking as a preacher about my daughter. God, thank you for my daughter.
Amen.
Thank you, I got a daughter. Thank you, I got sons, Lord, that are willing to want to live for you, strive to live for you, be an example for you, Lord. And they're not afraid to do this. At 16 years old, you couldn't catch me 5 blocks in front of a place where people were holding up scripture signs. I wouldn't have done that when I was 16. You wouldn't have caught me close to doing it. I claim to be saved. Again, this is not being said to make anybody feel bad or like you should go out there and do it. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying to you, you make sure you're a light where God has you to be a light. Wherever God has you to be a light, make sure you're that light. Make sure you're that light. Send the light. Send the precious gospel. We're going to try to do that Wednesday. That's one of the announcements. Thursday will be church. Lord willing, we'll still have the revival meeting Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the 29th, 30th, and 31st. Please keep that in prayer as Pastor Tim Crotts comes to minister to us. And also, our final grief class, I know I had to cancel this week just because of things going on. Lord willing, our final class will be November 2nd, that Tuesday at 6, same time, 6 to 7:30. So November 2nd, that Tuesday, we'll Lord willing, try to finish up our final Greek class. And lastly, keep the Cobles in prayer. I know they're traveling. The Helly's in prayer. I know they got some things going on. I believe the Cobles traveled down to meet their son that lives down there in Georgia. So keep them in prayer as they travel back this week. And just a lot going on in our church. Just keep one another in prayer. I know a lot of heavy things going on, a lot of people's lives. So let's just take that before the Lord. I know we've already prayed, but we're going to pray again. Brother Jim, can you pray for us again? And then I'm going to pray. Can you pray, Brother Jim Belusha, for the services?
Dear Heavenly Father, we pray to thank you that we're all here today. We have a place to be. And that we do have people in here that always want to hear your word. As it's food, it's a need we have. If we don't have that need, there's definitely something to be looked at within each one of us.
Yes.
As I have within me, dear Heavenly Father, a hope that I not I wish not to miss a day that I come in, and that I would just take in all that I hear, for I need to hear it all. I need to have remembrance of that. And as some of us are getting up, we allow our minds and our hearts to drift other things. We ought to be more single in our thoughts, even as we're older, understand our very life is the Lord. For you can take it, help it, and if we do suffer a bit, we should know that the suffering, as Paul will show us, it could be a wonderful thing in strengthening us and showing other people how we ought to live. Mm-hmm. And so we pray to bless the service we are about to hear, that our hearts be made light. Mm-hmm. Jesus, most precious name we pray. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Sing this last song out with all our heart. Also, I forgot to mention Miss Nancy Perella in prayer. Saw her last night, so she's going through some things, so just keep her in prayer with what she's got going on as well. Amen.
All right, the next song we're going to sing out of the 101 book. We're going to sing "This World Is Not My Home." It's page 54. And I'm thankful that this world is not my home. Thankful I'm just passing through, but I'm also thankful for this church. Thankful that while I'm here, I get to have you guys in my life. Thankful for my actual family, my sister. I promise one church service I'm going to get through without crying in front of all you guys. I'm thankful for the family I have in this world. The people in this church, you don't know how much of an encouragement you are to me. See how you serve the Lord. I'm thankful this isn't my home, but I'm thankful that I have the right people in my life while I'm here. I really am. I'm thankful for my wife. We are definitely two imperfect people, but we're doing it together.
Good.
Page 54 in the 101 book. This world is not my home.
Yeah.
son. Oh, I want to see him.
Oh, hey.
At age 27.
Yes, sir.
place to hear the Savior call their name. And I'll have eyes that will never fill with teardrops. I'll have legs that will never ache with pain. And I'll have hands that will never age or wither. And a heart that will never break again. And I'll have eyes that will never fill with teardrops. And I'll have legs that will never ache with pain. And I'll have hands that will never age or wither. And a heart that will never break again. And I'll have hands that will never age or wither. And a heart that will never break again.
Amen. What a blessing to get home to heaven someday. To come a time there'll be no more tears, no more sorrows, no more grief, no more pain, no more heartache. Forever with the Lord and our loved ones. Rather than that coming soon, by God's grace, help us to be ready for it. Let's take our Bibles, and if you'd stand this morning for the reading of God's Word, Romans chapter number 1, verse number 18. Romans chapter 1. And verse number 18, if you're able to stand, reading of God's Word this morning. We're going to continue on in the study here in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 18. The Bible says here, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time this morning, Lord. Thank you for these precious songs. Thank you, Lord, that we can lift our voices unto you, Lord. Lord, oh, I want to see you someday, Father. Lord Jesus, someday, dear God, someday to fall before your throne. Lord, to cast crowns at your feet. Lord, help us to lay up these things so that we can throw them at your feet, Lord, because you're worthy of it, dear God. Lord, that day, someday soon, Lord, we'll go home to heaven and we'll see those nail-pierced hands and feet. Lord, help us to realize today all you did for us. Lord, help us not to waste time. Help us to redeem the days that you've given us for your glory and honor. And Lord, now I ask for your help as we look at your scriptures. Open our eyes, open our ears, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The Bible says here, a couple weeks ago, we looked at Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16. And verse 17 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it," what? "The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation." How does an individual get saved? How does somebody come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? It's through the gospel of Jesus Christ. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is what has given me and merited me eternal life. Jesus dying on that cross, you see, Jesus, he couldn't die just any way. He had to die on that cross and he had to shed his blood for our sins. You see, he had to die, he had to be buried, and he had to rise again. And it's through that that the power of God brings us unto salvation to everyone that believes it. Everybody that believes the gospel of Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth by the Holy Ghost bearing witness to their soul of what Jesus has done for them, they turn to Him in belief by faith and they're saved by the power of God. Verse 17 says, "For therein, that gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." You have to believe what God says and you stand upon it. That's why this book is so important. Brethren, because our feelings are going to weigh and ebb. Our feelings are going to go up and down. And sometimes we're going to feel like we're in the depths of despair. Sometimes we're going to have joy and happiness that we can't contain. Yet through it all, God's word stands sure of something that we can put our complete faith and trust in it because He said it. Why do I believe the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Because the scriptures tell me so. If we had not the scriptures, if we had not the word of God, then we would know nothing about Jesus. But because God has preserved His word for us and given it to us in His English, in English language, we have something as Christians, as Bible believers, that we can stand upon and know that God loves us, God cares for us, and God is there for us every step of the way. Jesus Christ loves us this morning. If you're His, He loves you. He cares for you, and He knows all that we're going through. You see, there's nothing that God cannot see or that God does not know with His saints. The Bible says, precious, and I'm paraphrasing now, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. It's precious. It is precious in God's eyesight when one of His saints dies and is called home. Read about Stephen and his home going. What a way, brethren. I love how the Lord works. I just love how God works. Did you see or have you read how mad those scribes and Pharisees got at the death of Stephen? When he's sitting there, he's willing to get stoned to death. I'd rather be hanged or shot, personally. I'd rather not go out of this life being stoned to death unless the first stone hits me in the head. That's a horrible way to die. Horrible. Yet, Stephen, brethren, I believe everybody here that's saved believes that God's all powerful. Yes, sir. Right? And God can do things that only God can do. But look what God allowed Stephen to proclaim. Take your Bible real quick. I wasn't planning on looking at this, but look at Acts chapter number 7. Acts chapter 8, I'm sorry. Acts chapter 8, verse number. No, Acts chapter 7, verse number. Acts chapter 7, verse number 54. Acts chapter 7, verse 54. Basically, all Stephen was doing was preaching to them the Old Testament and how Christ must come and how they put Jesus Christ to death. Look what Stephen tells them in verse 51, Acts chapter 7, verse 51. Now, mind you, he is out there on the street corner. He is out there in the middle of the city, and all these people are gathered around him, even Saul, okay? And he's preaching to them. He's preaching to them from the Old Testament. And look what he says in verse 51. You want to make some people mad on the street corner? Just go out there and say this. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. That's some preaching right there. Making people upset. But it's the truth. They resisted the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost that was trying to get a hold of them. The Holy Ghost was trying to bring conviction upon them. The Holy Ghost that loved them so much to deal with them about sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. And that there was a way out, a way to purge their conscience by Jesus Christ and the blood that He shed. And how Jesus Christ was all propitiation. He was the atoning sacrifice for them. And they rejected Christ just like Christ said they would. Stephen says, you're stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, and you do always resist the Holy Ghost. Verse 52,
Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have now, betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. Look at this verse 54. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and repented and turned to God. No, my dear friends. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God in Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Do you see by Stephen's boldness, by Stephen willing to walk with his Savior, by Stephen willing to do the will of God in his life, God has allowed him to preach his last message. And the end of this message is this poor man is going to die by stoning. Yet God, before he passes off the scene, gives Stephen a glimpse up into heaven. Do you see what Stephen might have missed if he wasn't willing to go forward with God? Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost of God, as he knows he's getting ready to pass off this scene, God opens up heaven to see to Stephen, and he sees the glory of God and Jesus. He sees, look, Brendan, he's getting ready to die, and the Lord allows him to see himself. There's a lot of martyrs, if you read about the martyrs, that we're getting ready to die, and they're seeing things that we can't see. Brethren, I wonder this. I wonder if Stephen didn't feel 1 ounce of pain. I just wonder if Stephen didn't feel the first rock that hit him. I just wonder because sometimes those saints of old that were burnt at the stake, the fires are burning. They're burning at the stake and they're singing hymns. You see, the just shall live by faith. It just makes me wonder sometimes about those that have gone before us and have died for the cause of Christ. At that very moment where they're getting ready to face death, that it just makes me wonder sometimes if God just doesn't step in and say, come on home, though it looks like you're suffering pain, you ain't feeling nothing. Come on home, dear son or daughter. How can you explain someone singing a hymn as they're being burnt to death? The only way you can explain it is by God getting in on that thing. How can you explain this situation where Stephen here, who's not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, is preaching it to these Pharisees and Sadducees, calling them out for what they are and saying that you reject the Holy Ghost of God, and God gives him a glimpse up into glory and his precious Savior standing there on the right hand of God. Verse 56, and said, look what Stephen says, behold, I see the heavens open. He ain't worried about no stones, brethren. Stephen ain't worried about no rocks right now. He's got a glimpse up into heaven. He sees the glory of God. He sees Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father. And he says, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Look at this precious man of God, brethren. Look at this precious, precious man of God. And he knelt and he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, get him. Think we ought to pray for our president? As far as I know, Joe Biden hasn't stoned anybody yet. Brethren, look at the attitude of a true saint of God. Look what Stephen prays. This man is getting ready to get stoned to death. They gnashed upon him with their teeth. They're casting him out of the city. They're dragging him along by the mob out of the city because they can't kill him. They don't want to kill him in the city. They're going to drag him out of the city. He knows what's getting ready to take place, but he knows his Savior. See, the Lord says, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord." Vengeance is not ours. And this true Bible-believing Christian, Scripture-believing Christian, verse 60 says, "And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." As this man's getting ready to pass off the scene, he's still concerned about the souls of those that are getting ready to kill him. Something bad's wrong crept into Independent Baptist to where they feel it's all right just to bash authority whenever they feel it's right to bash authority. Any God-ordained authority, you better be very careful with it. You better tread lightly. You better tread very lightly with any God-ordained authority. You better tread very lightly. And I say as a preacher that loves you, I'm trying to help you this morning. You better tread very lightly with any God-ordained authority, how you speak against it. Better be very careful. With what measure you meet, should be measured back. How is your attitude this morning? I don't care this morning if you say you're a Christian. How's your attitude? How's your attitude? The Bible says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, the froward way. God hates those things. Stephen kneels down and cries with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And we're going to look at that tonight. We're going to look at falling asleep tonight in the Lord. He fell asleep. But who was there watching this all happen to Stephen and how he conducted himself? Saul. Do we not think this morning that Saul, or as we know now, Paul, did some great things for God? Wouldn't some people say that Paul was one of the greatest Christians that ever lived? God used a murderer to write the majority of the New Testament. God used a murderer to bring his children out of Egypt. God used a murderer to slay a giant. Saul, what was going on? God brings conviction upon this man because I believe one of the testimonies that shined as bright as the morning star was the testimony of Stephen. But you see, it wasn't Stephen. You see, this story here in Acts chapter 7 isn't about Stephen. It's about what God can do through Stephen. Because Stephen was a willing and yielding vessel to Jesus Christ, his precious Savior. And he said, "Lord, if it's determined for me to die by stoning today, God, give me the opportunity to preach the gospel. And at the very end, help me to die in faith. Help me to die a death that brings glory and honor to you, Lord, that others may see that there's a difference when you name the name of Jesus Christ. There ought to be a difference if you name the name of Christ because he makes a difference. I know of no salvation that makes no difference. Jesus changed my life back in March. March 2000, he changed my life and I ain't been the same since that day. Now have I faltered and fallen? Yes, but I know I've been changed. Jesus Christ and his eternal life that he provided there on the cross of Calvary produced a change in Stephen to where this man was full of the Holy Ghost, to where even the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees and all the religious crowd got mad at this man because he was preaching the gospel. Notice who gets mad at the man. It's not the bum on the street. It's not the guy in prison. It's not the man that's selling drugs. It's his own company who should be preaching the gospel with him. It's so often the religious crowd is who's going to give you trouble when you try to put forth the proclamations of Jesus Christ. Who gave Jesus all the hard time? It was the religious crowd, the Pharisees, the scribes, and the Sadducees. Given not the harlots, not the prostitutes, not the bum on the street, it was the people in church. Yes, brethren, these things, look, it's Bible. It's Bible. Brethren, God, brethren, forgive me this morning, listen. God, help us to get back to the book. God, help us to get back to what does the book say? What does the precious word of God say? For this purpose and this purpose only, that we may live lives that bring glory and honor to Him. To our precious. Brethren, I pray as your pastor, and I pray for myself, God, help me to get this. God, help me to realize what you went through on the cross of Calvary. God, help me to get it, Lord. Help me to get it, dear God. Help me to get through this thick skull of mine, God, what you did for me on that cross. I got a thick skull. I'm stubborn sometimes. God, help me with it because I know it ain't right, God. But God, brethren, I know I said it a million times, and I say it a million times more. I don't want to get home to heaven someday and regret how I lived this life. Paul got saved. Paul was convicted. Paul was dealt with because he saw the testimony of Jesus. He saw Stephen, the testimony of Stephen, and the power of the gospel that he was preaching about Jesus Christ. You see, so often as you strive to live for God and do the work of the Lord, it's only going to get worse and darker. Brethren, if you determine today to walk out these doors and said, you know what, Lord, help me to live even closer to you. God, help me to draw even nigher to you. Lord, help me to put these things into practice. I'm going to tell you, as your preacher and as your friend, it's going to get bad. It's going to get dark. It's going to get lonely. The waves are going to feel like they're going over you because you're striving to live for Jesus. And the devil sees it and the devil hates it. And that's why the battle comes in, because you're pulling out the sword. The sword does no good in a scabbard. The sword does no good on your side. You have to pull it out. And then you have to be willing to go out onto the battlefield. Where's the battlefield? It's the world. God, help us to be about your business. You see, in Revelation chapter 1, verses 18 through 21, it says that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all that live ungodly, against all that live in disobedience to the truth of God's word. Why? Because they choose rather to follow the prince of the power of the air rather than God. Take your Bible, look at Colossians chapter 3, verse number 5. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 5. You see, we serve a good God this morning, brethren. God is good. God gives opportunities to all of mankind to come unto the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 3, look at verse number 5. Colossians 3, 5. The Bible says this here. It says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Look at verse 6. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on who? Cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walk sometime when ye lived in them. Look, you can't be disobedient unless you know what the command is. You see, God is a good God, and according to Scripture, God does not send anybody to hell. Man chooses to go there by rejecting the only way out, and that's Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ, the book of John, chapter 1 says, Jesus lighteth every man that cometh into the world. There's not a man, there's not a woman in this world today that is going to have an excuse before God someday. God bears witness to their spirit that he is alive and their creator. God has given every one of us a conscience. You see, man has been given a conscience to discern between good and evil, right and wrong, even without ever seeing or hearing the written word of God. Take your Bible, look at Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 7. You see, back there in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 21, the Bible says that they are without excuse. There are no excuses for not coming to Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 7. Hebrews 9 and verse number 7. But into the sanctuary went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. You see, in the Old Testament, when somebody sinned there in the nation of Israel, they had to bring a lamb, they had to bring a goat, they had to bring a cow, they had to bring birds, anything that was clean that God accepted, they had to bring it to the priest, then they had to lay their hands on that animal, and they had to slice its neck or whatever, they had to shed its blood for the sin they had committed. And it would bring a temporary appeasement to God for their sins. Yet the problem with it was, though, brethren, it could not purge the conscience. You see, when you get saved and the blood of Jesus Christ covers you, washes away your sins, not only does it do that, it purges and cleanses your conscience. My conscience is clear today because of the blood of Jesus Christ. The Old Testament couldn't do that, but the New Testament can. The conscience has been purged. The conscience of what? The conscience of knowing right and wrong. I said this before in this church. You don't have to teach a young child to do right and wrong. You don't have to teach a child to lie. You don't have to teach a child to steal. They automatically do it. And the first times that they do it, it pricks their heart and they feel guilty over it because of their conscience. The Bible talks about how your conscience can be seared by hot iron. God help us that our conscience never gets to a point where it's solid as concrete and nothing moves us. The blood of Christ clears our conscience. You see, conscience is this. It's internal or self-knowledge or judgment of what is right or wrong. It's the faculty, power, or principle within us which decides on the lawfulness or unlawfulness of our own actions and affections. You see, your conscience bears witness to you whether what you're doing is right and wrong. And then after you get saved, not only do you still have your conscience, you got the Holy Ghost. You see, creation, both seen and unseen, point to a creator to whom we are accountable. So not only does our conscience bear witness with us that there is a right and a wrong, a good and an evil, but there's also creation that bears witness to this. Take your Bible, look at Psalm chapter 19, verse 1. You say, preacher, what if they don't have a Bible? What if they've never heard? What if there's no missionary? What if they don't have a Bible? What if they're in the middle of a jungle somewhere? God's still giving them Bible. It may not be in a written form, but God's still declaring his glory to those individuals. Psalm 19, verse number 1. Look what the Bible says here. Psalm 19, verse number 1. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament, that's the heavens, showeth his handiwork. Whose handiwork? God's handiwork. Verse 2, day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Let me ask you this question this morning, brethren. Who created languages? God. God created languages. There's not a language that's come about and God's like, oh, I don't know that one. I need to get a translator. Let me break out Google. Google, what does this mean? No, God is the author of languages. There's not a language on this planet today. There's like 100, I don't know how many dialects there is in Papua New Guinea right now. Papua New Guinea, over there near Australia, near Indonesia, down south of Singapore, in that area over there, in that section, they got so many dialects, it's not even funny. God knows every one of them. God knows what every man and woman there is speaking and what they're saying because he's God. God is not confounded or restricted by languages. God knows languages. That's why I believe God could bring his word into the English language. Because God's not all of a sudden surprised, like, oh, we're going to English now. I don't know what I'm going to do. I believe God is. We have exactly what we need right here in this Bible. And even if we didn't have the Bible, even if we didn't have the scriptures, which Brother Ralph says, which is so true, we're so, like I said Sunday, we got so many Bibles, we don't even know what to do with them sometimes. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. Verse 3, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Do you see that the sun, the moon, and the stars have a voice? They're speaking every day. Every night, I had a chance to go out this week and just look up, and I'm amazed. I want to go where you were telling me that one time. Where is that in Pennsylvania? What's it called? A dark city? Cherry Spring. I want to go to Cherry Springs sometime. They were telling me it's one of the few cities in the United States that's a dark city, to where you can go out there and you can just see stars and the Milky Way and just everything. The galaxies, you can see them. Brethren, I just started getting into it, talking a little bit with Brother Sam back there, and I'm going out there, I got my little thing on my phone, I'm like, yeah, that's that planet there, and that's that planet there, I'm trying to learn things, and I'm looking there, I'm thinking, brethren, the moon still blows my mind away. I sit out there sometimes, a couple weeks ago, there was a full moon, and I was up on a mountainside, and I was looking out there at that full moon, and I'm thinking, Lord, look at that big ball just sitting out there. And see, sometimes we get so busy in our lives, we think, yeah, it's the moon, let's go, come on, we got to go do it. It's just the moon? It's a big ball hanging on nothing. Do you get me this morning? There is a big ball out there tonight that has nothing holding it up. Will you say it's gravity, the gravity? Okay, all right, okay. It's just gravity. All right, that big ball out there swinging around this planet and it's just held by gravity. The Bible talks about the world that God hung on nothing. You see, the moon talks to us. The sun, not in an audible voice, but by God's creation, it speaks to us of a creator that made it. It just didn't happen. My wife homeschools Delhi. Sometimes I get to be the guinea pig. She's like, let me teach you something. I was like, I got too much going on in my brain. I don't need to learn that more. She's like, no, let me teach you something. I said, teach it to Ellie. So she was telling me about bacterium. They still can't figure it out, right? They still can't figure out bacteria. All our technology, they can't even figure out bacteria. They can't even figure out a simple cell. A simple cell has it's like its own little city, even with its own little garbage truck that goes around in it. One cell. You want to talk about God proclaiming his glory as creator? Just start looking at some things in science. And it all points back to a creator. the heavens declare the glory of God. You say, preacher, why are you saying all this? Because the book of Romans says that they are without excuse. The book of Romans says in Romans chapter 1 verse 20, it says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and glory, his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now I'm going to close with this thought, if I can get it right, because I didn't write it down, because I wasn't planning on saying it. But you know, individuals have a problem with the Trinity. There's no problem with the Trinity of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, three in one, one in three. There's no problem with it. You take a block of ice, solid block of ice, and you put it on a hot plate, a hot plate, and you put that solid block of ice on that hot plate, it's going to start to melt. And as it starts to melt, it's going to start producing a liquid along with the solid. And if it stays on there long enough, it's going to get hot enough to where it's going to produce a vapor of the water. It's the same exact thing, but totally different than the other three. There's things you can do with ice that you cannot do with liquid, that you cannot do with vapor, but you can do with vapor, but you can't do with liquid, you can't do with a solid. But it's the same exact thing. Stop and think about that for a second. It is the exact same thing, but it's exactly different. Thank you. Same difference. Look what reality is made. Reality is made up of time, space, and matter. Three in one, one in three. Reality made up of time, space, and matter. Time is made up of three things, yet it's one: past, present, future. Space is made up of breadth, height, width. Time, space, matter, past, present, future. Matter, solid, liquid, gas. Three in one, one in three. You think God doesn't bear witness to his creation? Three in one, one in three. You got three main colors that make all the colors in the world. Three colors. Red, blue, and yellow, right? That's right. Red, blue, yellow. Make all the colors. Three colors make so many colors you can't even keep track of them. Just go to Home Depot or Lowe's and try to buy some paint. You got cocoa gel. You got Mary's hair. I mean, you got all kinds of crazy names on these things. Cherry pie. I was like, what? And she was asking me, my son's getting ready to get married and they're looking at wedding or bridesmaid dresses. She's like, which one do you like? I said, they all look the same. You know what, there's 16 different shades. I said, they all look the same to me. But I say that, brethren, what a God we serve. You see, man is without excuse. Now, the last part of that verse is concerning in Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Take it, we're going to look at this real quick. Romans 1, 21, the last part of that verse. It says they're without excuse. But look what it says there, Romans 1. Romans 1, 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Look at this. Neither were thankful. Neither were they thankful. But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They're without excuse, because when they had an opportunity to know God and to glorify him as God, they didn't do it because they weren't thankful. I'm thankful this morning for God. I'm thankful this morning, though sometimes I don't understand it. Psalm chapter 8, verse 4 says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? I don't understand this morning, brethren, why God loves me. I don't understand. It's hard for me to ever comprehend why God would love me, why God would put up with me, and why God cares for me. I don't understand why. I don't get it. But he does. You see, the enemy wants to come in and whisper in your ear and say, you've done too much, you've gone too far. God don't love you. God don't care for you. God hates you. God despises you. And those are all lies from the devil. God loves us. If we're His this morning, if we are His this morning, God loves us, God cares for us, and God has His hand around us. But those out here in this world that choose to reject God, to choose not to glorify Him as God, and are unthankful for all that God has done for them, they're in a scary spot. Because you get to a point where I think we're at today in our nation, to where we're vain in our imagination and our foolish hearts are being darkened as a nation. Brethren, I looked at it in Sunday school. When you can have a newspaper article that deals with things that ought not to be dealt with for little kids, we're vain in our imagination and our foolish heart is darkened. God help us to get back to His Word. God help us to get back to Him. God help us to get back to holiness and righteousness. God help us to get back to where we redeem the time for His glory and for His honor. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I thank you for how good you are to us, dear God. Lord, I thank you for your precious word, Lord. Thank you for precious salvation through Jesus Christ, your Son. Lord, thank you for enlightening my eyes, dear God. Thank you, Lord, for convicting my soul, Lord. Thank you for passing by my way and, Lord, knocking upon the doors of my heart. Thank you for it, Lord. I thank you, dear God. Thank you, Lord, that I'm saved. And Lord, I pray you'd help me now, Lord, to live for you, dear God, to be a light and example and a testimony for you, Lord. I pray you'd help this church. I pray we take heed to your word. I pray we take heed to what the scriptures say. Jesus said, "Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God." God, help me not to err, not knowing your power. Lord, help me to walk with you, dear God. Help these precious brethren. Lord, give them safe trips back home or wherever they're going to after the service. Lord, keep your hand upon them. Watch over them, Lord. And Lord, if it be your will, you bring us back home safe, bring us back this evening safely. Lord, that we can hear your word again tonight and that we can sing songs to glorify you. And we just pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. What you got? Page 801, the blue hymn book. If you can stand for this one, page 801, How Great Thou Art.
replace the things that the world wants to put into our hearts and minds so that we're ready to serve you at all times and take the gospel of salvation to a dying and needy world. And we just pray that you bless us through this day and bless us to come back tonight again. And thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen.